Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So what will the next 2 weeks bring in Super Bowl coverage? What kind of angles will the media take? What kind of angles will everybody harp on? The youth of the Rams, the fun of the Rams, the high scoring of the Rams, or the Patriots continuing to march through this dynastic NFL run, going to their ninth Super Bowl with Belichick and Brady, 11th overall, as Brady goes for ring number 6. I think there's two that are going to be harped on most. I think those are the two angles that we'll take most of all, is this unbelievable historic run. I know we're going to get our fill of Brady in the conversation of greatest of all time. The funny thing about this conversation that we have about Brady, and we're going to kind of dive into this later into this hour, is don't we have this every year? Isn't this an annual ritual? And if we've done it before, what has changed today, right? If 2 years ago when the Patriots were playing the Falcons, if we were having this, is he the greatest quarterback of all time conversation? And now we've waited two more additional Super Bowls to continue to have this conversation. Either we've settled it or we don't. Maybe we haven't settled it yet as a country, but we should. I mean, this is Super Bowl number 9 for this guy. It's unreal. It's unreal. I pointed out again last night on social media how this is just something to behold, given that so many organizations, when they go to their Super Bowl history, right? If you walk through the Cowboys Super Bowl history, Broncos Super Bowl history, Niners, it always includes multiple quarterbacks in different times, right? Or like different eras. For the Patriots, that's not the case. They have the greatest Super Bowl record of all time in terms of how many times they've gone and how many wins that they have as an organization. And the only person on the field that is responsible for that is Tom Brady. He doesn't share this with Drew Bledsoe or Steve Grogan or anybody else in the Patriots history books. He doesn't share that like Aikman and Staubach share it, or Roethlisberger and Bradshaw share it, or Young and Montana share it. He doesn't share it with anybody. It's remarkable. It really, in this day and age in the NFL, it's remarkable. Given what was on stage for us to observe this season, if the Patriots are the champions, did you see it at any time during the regular season? Because I didn't. We'll talk more about that coming up. It's SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so what do we do with Brady now that he's in his ninth Super Bowl? How do we process it? We're going to talk about that coming up. But Ron has a confession, a football-related confession, that he wants to share. And I asked him at the beginning, I said, do you want to tell me? And he goes, no, I'll tell you later. I'll tell you on the air. So I'm as going to be as surprised as all of you.
I just feel like for the good of myself that I clear the air.
Okay.
Because this was weighing heavily on me since last night. And I just, I didn't know how to process that. I didn't know how to deal with it. But the problem is, and this is hard for me to say, Tony, I started finding myself rooting for the Patriots towards the end of the game.
Oh, okay. No, that's not a problem. I want to hear more about this because
I did.
Where you're going. What was it about the Patriots that you wanted to see?
I think what it is because we spent a lot of time last week talking about how there's a lot of Patriot hatred in the country.
Right.
As much as there's a lot of Warrior hatred in the country, we hate really great things that are happening. And I found myself just when Brady got that ball back, and my Twitter timeline, much as everyone across the country, blew up with three words: too much time.
Yeah, too much
because
time.
Because we all sat there and said, you know what? They got the ball back with a little over 2 minutes. They have all three timeouts. They still have the 2 minute warning. The Chiefs did not plan that well at all.
Not at all.
But I looked at it. I'm like, you know what? I fully believe that I'm going to witness something amazing once again, and I don't know how much longer it's going to last. I don't know how much longer we're going to be you know, privy to the brilliance that is Brady. I'm one of those guys that's still on the fence. Is it Belichick? Is it Brady? You know, is Brady the greatest of all time? I'm a still big Joe Montana fan. But the fact of the matter is that when Brady got that ball, I knew for a fact he was going to march down the field and get a score. And then when they got the ball in overtime, I knew for a fact that they were going to win the game in overtime. And the only thought was going through my mind the entire time is like, I find myself rooting for Brady right now because this is history.
Yeah,
and this is one of these things that 20, 25 years from now is a where were you type moment, like, you know, looking back on this career and just going, this was, you know, probably one of the greatest eras of football by a single player, a single team that we will ever witness. I mean, one, maybe just outside of football, maybe the great out of all sporting events, you know, better than Michael Jordan and the Bulls, better than, you know, Bill Russell with the Celtics back in the 50s, or, you know, what the Montreal Canadiens did back in the day. This is this sheer dominance in a game that, in an era where it's hard to remain dominant. Is absolutely astounding.
Is I was thinking about this last night, and I hear where you're coming from because I have friends, you know, I have friends on Twitter and Facebook from Denver.
Oh no, right? I can't stand Patriot fans.
I agree, right? And I'm from Denver, but these guys, and look, I have to watch the Super Bowl. I would never miss a Super Bowl.
No, not at all.
But I have friends who don't have that same passion for the NFL and said, all right, let me know who wins. I'm not watching now. Patriots are in it again. And I thought to myself, but you're missing something here. You're missing something. And I'm not saying root for the Patriots to root for something historic, but you're missing something that you really need to pay attention to. So I started thinking about this last night. Is Tom Brady, and I may be going overboard, and if you want to bring me back down to earth, go ahead. But is Tom Brady better at being an NFL quarterback than any other athlete has been at his job in the history of sports?
Yeah.
And then I started thinking that answer is yes. Because my thing was, when we talk about greatest quarterback, right, I said, okay, well, I can't make the argument about athlete, because then I got the people going, okay, like is he the greatest athlete? He's not athletic,
no,
right?
No, no,
it brings too many variables into the conversation. But for what he is supposed to do as a professional athlete, is he better at that than Tiger Woods as a golfer, as Michael Jordan was a basketball player, as Wayne Gretzky was a hockey player? Like, was he better? Is he better at this than any of those others at what they do for a living?
I'm going to say there's two people. I like the Wayne Gretzky one. I don't know if he's better.
Gretzky is so touchy for me because
I don't know if he's
the
a
numbers
better quarterback
are crazy.
Than Gretzky was a hockey player. But right. two individuals stood out in my mind right away, and they're both Olympic related. It was Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt.
Yeah, Michael Phelps, Usain Bolt. You can even go in that direction, right?
I don't know if Brady is a better quarterback than Michael Phelps is a fish.
Maybe so, because Michael Phelps is a fish.
Yeah.
Like he's built, what he did, his body is a fish.
What he did in Beijing and like the sheer willpower to go and get 8 gold medals, even that one where he, you know, outstretched that French guy. I mean, to me, that's like absolutely unreal. And I don't know if, you know, I mean, it's almost superhero-esque.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this guy's a mutant somehow. Somewhere.
So I'm going to throw it out there, 800-777-2907. Again, I preface that question with, if it's too hyperbolic, fine, I get it. I understand. But it really isn't, because what he has done, if his job is to win football games and put his team in championships, he's done that better than any person in the history of the NFL.
No, and you had that Tiger Woods feeling yesterday when you got the ball back. I mean, we all sat there. I mean, just go back to your timelines and just look at when there was 2 minutes. I think it was 2 minutes, 5 seconds left on the clock. And everyone was saying, like, I hate to say it, too much time.
Too much
now
time.
I'll be the first one to say it. Too much time. Too much time. And without even having to read that, you kind of knew, like, you know what? Oh, I'm looking at this. They got the 2 minute warning of all 3 timeouts. That's way too much time.
I can see somebody making the argument with Brady. Let's take Wayne Gretzky, for example, right? You could say, well, Brady Brady's gone to 9 Super Bowls, but statistically, he doesn't own the touchdown record. He doesn't own the passing yards record. Right. Like, he doesn't own those records. Whereas Gretzky, it's like he has all these Stanley Cup championships. And oh, by the way, he has more assists than the second guy has points. Right? Like, that's like an insane, anomalous statistic.
I'll look at it this way, is that, Gretzky, and deservedly so, and I don't think we will ever see it again in professional sports, that Gretzky was the only one that I know of who the day he retired was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't think, even though Brady, a surefire first ballot, we can say the same thing about Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame, but he still has to wait his 5 years. And Brady, when he retires, no matter how many rings he has on his fingers, no matter how many statues are erected of him in New England, he's still going to have to wait those 5 years.
I think I have to look this up. Did not the NHL retire 99 for everybody?
They retired 99 as well.
Like, they're not going to retire 12.
They're not.
Silly, but that they're not going to do that anyway. But 99 was retired. Like, nobody could have it on any team, but any team.
That's just how special he was.
Right.
So maybe Gretzky's the only one. Because even with Tiger, I'll tell you what. There has been many times. When Tiger back in his day, when he had that red shirt on, the red shirt, black pants, and it was Sunday, and he was, either in the lead or just, in the final pairing, it was never a given. And I just feel like with Tom Brady, it's always a given. You give him this much time, he's going to march down and get a score. May not win the game for you. That's not his fault if the defense, doesn't do their job, against the Eagles, for example. But if you give him the ball, he is going to march down the field. He is going to get a score.
Damian Williams scores with a little over 2 minutes remaining, and there's 75,000 people, whatever, how much it held last night, 77,000 people. And I wonder how many of them were cheering, but at the same time going, oh, no.
They were cheering because it's like, the 12th man. We got to get as loud as we can. We got to do our job now.
Oh, my God. So written. It happens so often. It's so crazy. And it just continues to happen. And look, it almost didn't. Right? It almost didn't. There was a pass that was tipped and intercepted. And then we find out, oh, nope, offsides. D Ford was lined up in the neutral zone, and that negated that. But nevertheless, that feeling with 2 minutes that Brady had the ball was just, ugh. And here's an interesting, the Ringer brought this up. So I want to give them credit for this. This takes some research. I'm going to give them credit for this. They pointed out that the Patriots in their postseason, have appeared in overtime 3 times, right? The Super Bowl, against the Falcons. There was the 2002 Tuck Rule game. And then this one. In all 3 times, and this is really an amazing statistic, in all 3 overtimes, okay, the opposition never touched the football in overtime. Now, in 2002, they couldn't. That was not the rule at the time. It was sudden death. But still, you could punt, and they could punt. You could go back and forth. So the Patriots scored right away, right down the field, and kicked the Vinatieri field goal. Raiders never touched the ball in that Tuck Rule game. The Super Bowl, they went right down the field and scored a touchdown. And then this one, they did the same exact thing. That is really, really hard to do. That is not easy to score touchdowns on the opening drive of overtime. It usually does not happen. In fact, they pointed out 17% of the time, that's how games end in overtime, with the team scoring a touchdown on their initial possession. And yet, given those odds, it didn't feel like it was in doubt when the Patriots won the toss. It did not feel in doubt at all.
I can't remember who it was, but after the coin toss, it was like, the guy was like, we want the ball. Of course you do.
Of course.
And you can almost see it on the Chiefs' faces that when they lost the coin toss, like, well, it's a good season.
Yep.
They even knew.
It's over.
We had a good run.
800-777-2907. So accomplished question on the table, but want to hear your thoughts as well. You can also hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, and Ron is spelled with 2 N's. Is Tom Brady better at his job than any athlete has been at theirs? 800-777-2907. Include like Tiger Woods, include Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, anybody else, Michael Phelps, anybody else. This is a complex question, but I'd love to get people's thoughts on this because I'm watching a guy play that quarterback position better than I've ever seen it played, in terms of getting teams to championships, and he keeps doing it at 41, 42 years old, and he's been doing it since he's 24. Ninth Super Bowl, and he's going for ring number 6. 800-777-2907, the number. It's SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
800-777-2907 is the telephone number. Love to get your thoughts on our question of the hour. Is Tom Brady better at his job than any athlete has ever been at theirs? When your battery loses its power, you lose your ability to get out, get around, and get things done. When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the SuperStart battery that's the exact fit for your vehicle. Whether it's reliable economy, hardworking premium, or powerful extreme, O'Reilly Auto Parts has the SuperStart battery you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So we'll get your thoughts on that on Twitter at Tony D Radio on and at Ron Culver. Again, you can that's Ron with two N's. You just joined us. But I'm interested in people's thoughts on this because it does take some thinking. You could say yes, but then when you, like Ron points out, Michael Phelps. I mean, I've never seen anything like Michael Phelps, but maybe there is a factor in that. Or Tiger Woods at golf, Wayne Gretzky at hockey. I look at this and I'm it's just to me, knowing this league and know how complicated it is to build championships teams. Look, I luckily in my life, and I mean this, I spent 10 years really covering the Denver Broncos. I mean, being at Dove Valley all the time, being around the organization all the time, talking to general managers, whether it was Ted Sundquist or whoever, talking to players. It's really hard to build a championship. And I came into Denver just a few years after their last Super Bowl championship against the Atlanta Falcons, and John Elway had left and retired, and they were going to go with Bubby Brister, and instead they went with Brian Greasy, and Greasy was the man that followed the man. And if you know anything about sports, that's the worst place to be. But I watched that organization that desperately wanted to get right back to where they had left off, right? A championship in the Super Bowl in Miami against the Falcons in Super Bowl 33. And had to build it all back up again and had to find the right quarterback and had to find the right system. And Mike Shanahan was the head coach, but nothing he seemed to work, right? Jake Plummer, Jay Cutler, he tried running, he tried a passing offense, he tried this defensive coordinator, that defensive coordinator. It's hard in this league to build a team, a championship team. How do they do this consistently? How come there hasn't been an off year? How come there hasn't been a year where Brady and Belichick just were average, right? Because defensive, like the salary cap got to them, or, you know, the contracts got to them, or there was just, you know, it couldn't last forever. And this player went his own way and that player went his own way. And it broke up a really good defense, or it broke up really good offensive weapons. It doesn't happen to this team. Right. I didn't know who Chris Hogan was until he was tearing up the Steelers 2 years ago in the playoffs. All right. I mean, it drove me crazy that he continues to take players and make them superstars. And he's done it for 17 years now. And this organization has a system that people can't copy, even if they wanted to copy, because there is something about this quarterback that takes this team to the upper level before they even have other players around them. This has never been, and if you think about it, outside of the first Super Bowl where Brady was kind of new to the league and kind of, all right, the Patriots are led by this young kid and he's winning games and he's a sixth round pick from Michigan and woo, he took over from Drew Bledsoe and look at this, this is unbelievable. They had such an amazing defense that year that they went and played the Rams in that first Super Bowl that for Brady. That was an amazing, that was a defensive team. Really good defensive team. But after that, it really was Brady. It's always been Brady. Those Patriot teams have never been identified by anything else other than Brady. Even if they had good defenses, or even if they had a good wide receiver in Randy Moss, even if they had excelled in the running game, or whatever it was, offensive line was stellar, name it, it never mattered. They were always defined by the excellence of their quarterback. Right. And that is really something that has been hard at times for me to really put into perspective. It's been really hard to settle in and think. Again, we kind of run a promo of my son reminding me about being a baby when Brady won his first Super Bowl, but he pointed it out again last night. He goes, Dad, my whole life, this guy's been good. My whole life, this guy's, I don't know any time where he hasn't been good. And it's for a 17-year-old kid to say that. When I was 17, I could say that about no team in the NFL. None. Every team had dips and lulls and bad years. You know, maybe not 3-13, but certainly, all right, we didn't make the playoffs, or we didn't make the playoffs for 2 years in a row, or whatever it was. I came along loving the NFL in the late 70s. It's probably why I'm a Steelers fan, because I just latched on to a winner, right? I'll totally admit it. But I remember, you know, being told as a kid, all right, if you're going to be a Steelers fan, you're a Steelers fan for life. And in the 80s, it was hard to be a Steelers fan. They were not very good. And I used to hope and pray that they would get to the postseason. Then they would, and then they wouldn't for a couple of years. Then they would again, and they wouldn't for a couple of years. But that's, if you're a 17-year-old, 20-year-old kid in New England, outside of the 1 year Brady got the injury and they didn't, that's it. It's it. They've had 2 years where Brady has been their starter in which they didn't make it. Year two, right after their first Super Bowl, and the year Brady missed almost the entire season because he was injured in week one. That's it. Everything else has been Super Bowl level ability, Super Bowl level championship quality. May not always have made it, but definitely in the hunt. And that's hard to do. And so now we're talking about a guy who we may have to extend the conversation beyond greatest of all time at quarterback to greatest of all time in any sport or any job. And right, 24 to 42 years old, championship level performances, that's hard to ignore, right? Tiger had a lull. Tiger had a lull almost in his prime, in his 30s. 2009 was 10 years ago. Y'all remember Thanksgiving, right? Ellen rescued me from my car because I crashed. No, she was trying to chase you with a club in her hand to beat you because you were having affairs. And he was not the same for a long time. And you know what? He still may not be the same. He's came back last year, but had a win last year. We still don't know down the road where he is in terms of the other realm of golfers in his field at 42 years old. But you know where we know where Tom Brady is at 42 years old? He's waiting for the Rams in Super Bowl 53. Look at other athletes at 42. Do we know where they were at 42 years old? Because again, I know where he is and where he'll be in 2 weeks. But this isn't a Johnny-come-lately story. This isn't a journeyman made good. You don't remember any point where the Patriots were going into rebuilding mode and were going to stink and give up the division to the Bills or the Dolphins or the Jets. You don't know it because it never happened. By fluke of injury in week one, or by a 9-7 year two, when nobody knew who the Patriots really were. But since that moment, they have delivered everything to their fan base, which is win championships, go to championships. And we should be so lucky to have that with our teams. My God, I'm still celebrating the last time the Steelers won a Super Bowl. That was 10 years ago, right? The Patriots are celebrating one from 2 years ago. It's craziness. It's nuts. It's really nuts. And watching it yesterday, as Ron and I have been pointing it out all morning, even the Arrowhead Stadium, Patrick Mahomes, high-scoring offense, 50-touchdown quarterback, a defense that had gotten better, right? Nothing mattered. Nothing mattered. When he had the ball with 2 minutes left to go, you knew they were going to take the lead. Luckily, we got overtime because the Chiefs were able to move the ball down the field quickly and Buckner was able to kick a field goal to give it to overtime. Other than that, maybe the Patriots scored with too much time left. That was 38 seconds. But none of us, if you're telling me you thought, oh, I thought the Chiefs had this in the bag, you haven't been paying attention to this thing called the NFL. You just haven't. Because as Ron pointed out, I saw it on Twitter, everybody, too much time, too much time, too much time, way too much time, way too much time, way too much time. We've seen this play out before, way too much time. That's what it was across the country, across the world. Anybody watching that game knew, oh my God, 2 minutes? Why don't you just give him a week and a half? Because that's all he needs. He's going to score. Third down and nine. Really? Could have been third and 29. Did it really matter? Third and five. Didn't matter. Third and 15. Make it. Who cares? He was going to call the right play at the right time. He's going to break down that play. He's going to break down that defense. He'd do exactly what he wants to do with that football. And guess what? All of his receivers were like, I'm not dropping this. I'm not going to drop this. Rob Gronkowski, huge catch, right? Huge, huge catch. Julian Edelman, who had fingers of, oops, sorry. He, big catch. We're going to have to process this as an NFL fan base. We can hate them and hate them and hate them and hate them. My God, guess what? 2 weeks, they're not going away. And they're not going away. And they're not getting blown out in the Super Bowl either. I don't care what team the Rams bring. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know what I still can't believe from that Patriots-Chiefs game, Ron? I still can't believe that that football did not touch Julian Edelman at all. I still can't believe it. I watched the thing bobble and bounce up, and it somehow went through the gap that Edelman was just providing naturally, trying to field a kick.
The funny thing was, you had to look at every single angle to really realize it didn't hit him.
Oh, no kidding.
Because when you look at one angle, it's like, oh, yeah, that touched his thumb. Then you look at it the other way. Oh, no, that didn't touch his hands at all. Well, it surely touched his arm. Then you look at this angle. No, that didn't touch him there either.
It was amazing. It was so amazing. I was like, oh, my God. Look at that. And that doesn't change the fact that Edelman was trying to field a bobbly kick with a bunch of Chiefs around him. What a dummy. You don't do that. But nevertheless, he made some really good plays down the stretch. So good for him for redemption. But that was not the smartest of moves anyway.
Nah,
what does he think he was going to do with that?
And I'm pretty sure he was told that after the game. No matter how much celebration was going on, everyone in the locker room. I don't even know. Do football players do champagne like baseball players do?
I don't think they do. No, that's a good question.
You know. No. But regardless, I mean, there could be a full-on club scene going on in that locker room. Belichick will probably walk up to Edelman and go, come here. let's talk about this real quick.
Can't feel that.
For Belichick, I mean, the game, there's no days off. There's no time to celebrate. He's already in preparation for what we're going to do with the Rams.
On the plane, talking to his coaches. Coach is like, can we celebrate for like 2 seconds, please? No, you can't. Can I just be with my family? No, not at all.
You can celebrate when you're dead.
I like Brady's like, oh, honey, I love you. I'm coming home. Wait a minute, you're coming home?
What about the little celebration he had right before?
Oh, my God, yeah. When he threw
CBS, maybe not put the microphone right there, right away. You know, give it a second.
Is he that good of friends with Evan Washburn that he just felt so comfortable before the interview to blurt that out?
And then
call him bro later in the interview.
My thinking was that he knew that he was going to be on camera, that they knew they were going to go with him, and he said, you know what, I'm just going to throw it out there because I got this good boy image, I could get away with it.
Yeah.
Just a conspiracy theory. That's what we're all about.
Maybe
here.
So.
We come up with conspiracy theories all the time. I think he did it on purpose.
Oh my goodness. I just thought it was hilarious. All right, so listen, sympathy in sports, we don't usually have it, but which fan base did you feel more sorry for yesterday? The Saints fans or the Chiefs fans?
That's an easy one.
The Saints?
Yeah, because, I mean, for the Chiefs...
Oh, their future is bright.
Yeah, they it's all... I mean, you got Patrick Mahomes. This is literally his first season. I mean, we're borderline. We can call him a rookie because he took like maybe a handful of snaps last year.
Yeah, I think he played in the last game in 2000, and that was enough. Like when we talked to our guy in Kansas City, and they were like, "This performance took everybody's surprise." They thought, "All right, he's good, but we want to build the offense around him." But I didn't think 50 touchdowns and a number one seed in the AFC was.
Yeah, you have the league
crazy
MVP on your team. You have a young team. A young defense, young offense. There's nothing to do but go up from here. This is a great, great run for you guys. Hopefully they don't fall off and have a sophomore slump of any kind. But for Saints fans, it's Breeze.
Yeah, it's Breeze.
You know, who just, I mean, 38? What, he just turned 40?
No, 40.
He
40
just
years
turned 40
old, yeah.
This week.
That's right.
Or last week. And you look at that, and it was just, you know, devastating the way they lost. I mean, second year in the row, devastating way to get bounced out of the playoffs.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding.
You know, last year was the Minnesota Miracle. This one was worst no-call in sports history.
Worst no-call in sports history. It's still amazing. I mean, you look at these officials, and I don't know what the answer is, and I don't know, but I don't – if I'm the NFL – first of all, the NFL, for those who thought – the NFL is going to you know, suffer for this. They're not. They don't suffer because of blown calls. People talk about it, it becomes controversy. They don't care. They swim in controversy. It's okay. But the reality of it is that they have got to figure out how you can't have your biggest stage. You can't have some of your biggest stage, whether it's the Super Bowl, the AFC Championship games, whatever. You can't have them defined by this. You have to find a way to limit that as much as possible. And for the most part, I'll be honest with you, for the most part, they do. Like, we don't talk about blown calls causing a team to go to the Super Bowl very often. It rarely, rarely happens. But when it does, it's enough of a blow that you've got to figure it out. How in the world did a guy who leveled a wide receiver with a ball in the air, how did all of those guys not see it? How did all of those guys not pay attention to that and not notice that and not think that it was a call? And you know what? And I've been harping on him, and maybe I'm a little too hard. I think Sean Payton didn't do his team any service at all by harping on it, still yelling at the officials about it, even well after the play. I don't know if that affected the focus of the team, but it looked a little different. I think you have to, as a head coach, you may hate it, you may not want it. Look, when you have something in your life that you can legitimately complain about, we like to hold that. Just as human beings, we like to hold that as much as we possibly. When you're wronged, you like to hold on to that. Forgiveness sometimes is tough. It's tough, especially when it costs you something, right? When you are, you know, think about if your bank made a mistake, right, with your account. And let's say they made a mistake with your account and it cost you to bounce a check. Okay. And then you call them and you call them up and you tell them that they made a mistake and it cost you money and it cost you an embarrassment of having a bounced check. And your bank says, Oh my God. You know what? We are so sorry about this. We're going to make it right. We're going to put the money back in your account. We are going to waive the bank fee. We're going to make sure that the check clears. We'll even write a letter to the person that you did business with to say that it was our fault. You still wouldn't let it go. You'd still say, yeah, don't ever let it happen again. And because we are empowered by that. Right. We always are empowered by that. That's why relationships are tough, especially when one has done harm to another in a relationship. You feel empowered by that. You don't want to give that away sometimes, even if it's for your own good. Sean Payton is standing on the sidelines and he's got an absolutely blown call. Blown call. Costs his team a first down and a chance to run out the clock, kick a field goal, win a game, and send his team to the Super Bowl. Okay. Instead, he settles for a field goal. And guess what? He's got time on the clock. He's got the defense can't hold the Rams are throwing the ball, knows how to throw the ball, really good at that. And guess what? They get it down and kick a field goal and tie the game. It goes into overtime. When he's in overtime, he's realizing, okay, anything can happen in overtime. So what does he do? He still is harping to the referees on that call. Now, maybe it's got some strategy behind it because, like I said earlier, maybe it is to say, look, if there's a call that's going to go either way and you don't really know, I'm putting enough of an earworm in your brain to make you realize that you did me wrong. Maybe that's the case. But what he needed was focus, reset, get with what is happening out there. And if that took away, if that yelling constantly at the officials took away from the focus of the moment, he didn't do his team any services. He didn't help his team at all. But still, I mean, you can look. Did it cost them the game? Yes and no. We don't know what the after effects would have been. Okay. We don't know when they would have kicked a field goal. We don't know if they would have turned the ball over. We don't know if the holder botches it. We don't know if it banks off the uprights. We don't know any. We don't know if it's blocked. We don't know any of that. But would it likely won the game? Yeah. Given what we knew, likely won the game. So, but why aren't you running the ball down there? Why are you throwing it? Why are you putting yourself in a position to stop the clock when you're in the Rams territory and you have a good kicker like Will Lutz? Why are you not running the football that you do so well anyway? Why are you trying to get Breeze to throw a touchdown pass? What are you doing? I love when coaches say, no, we're going to play. We're going to use what brought us here. No. You do whatever the circumstances force you to do. If it forced you to run the ball and run out the clock, you run the ball and run out the clock. This isn't about morality or this isn't about some sort of philosophy justification. You run out the clock then kick the field goal.
You can do that during the regular season.
Sure.
But in this situation, you do whatever you have to do just to win the game because that's all that matters at the end of the day is win in advance.
Win in advance. Get through it. Who cares? You think a fan base was screaming like, oh my God, we're running the ball. Why aren't we flinging it all over the field like?
And when you see that, it's almost, you know, like when you look at what Sean Payton, the play calling he had going on, it was like, did you not watch Patriots Seahawks?
Yeah, you know, right, exactly.
Just run the ball.
Run the ball. That's all you got to do. Run the ball. Oh, by the way, when the Rams had the ball fourth and inches at the goal line, how badly do you think Sean McVay wanted to go for it?
Oh,
I mean,
of course.
He must have died. He must have died. He must have been like, oh, my God, if this was home week nine, I'd be ramming this down their throat. But you know what? I can't. I can't do it here. I got to get the points. I hate this. I'm not built on kicking field goals on fourth and a half a yard from the goal line. Oh, must have killed him to sit out the unit.
A small part of him died. But you know what? It gives him that coaching pedigree. He is an NFL coach, because at that moment, yeah, you wanna be young and dumb, but you gotta be conservative. You say, you know what, points are better than nothing. I mean, if they had gone for it and scored, yes, it's like, true to this, I don't think Sean Payton has ever came out of that, because remember it was him that went for an onside kick to open the half,
right?
I can't remember the Super Bowls. It was like 10 years ago. And, you know, it was one of those moments. It was like, man, you know, it's like that worked, and he was labeled a genius. If it didn't work, you're labeled as a, I guess what? I mean, I can't say goat, because goat has a different term now. But
I know. When did we give away goat? Remember, that was the line you used all the time.
Tom Brady. It's all Tom Brady,
right? Greatest of all time. So we just took a label that for over a generation we used as a synonym for somebody who failed in the moment, and turned it into, nope, that's the greatest of all time, because boy, isn't that cute the way the letters form the word? No, I grew up thinking Bill Buckner was the biggest goat of them all, because he, you know, like, or anybody else failed miserably on the highest stage.
But good on the barnyard animal.
Yeah,
to get his name changed, right?
For so many years, he was like going around the barnyard, like, oh, nobody wants to be around me. I'm poison. This is no good.
Yeah, maybe he's looking across the way and it's like, you know what? That mule over there, he used to be the special one. You know, Pack mule was a good, strong term. Now he's just a jackass.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. Yeah, so nevertheless, I agree with you. I think the Saints that's the sympathy. I feel more for the Saints. Because when you have an old quarterback, you can have a guy like Breeze who threw, 32 touchdown passes this season. But like we've talked about with Brady, like you never know when Father Time kicks you in the gut.
It's just going to show up.
You know when it shows up? I'll tell you when it shows up. You and I both know this because we're both in our 40s. When you get hurt doing something and it takes a longer time to recover than you normally thought. That back injury, that I'm just going to end up living with this. Like this lower back pain, I'm just, forget it. This is what I have for the rest of my life now.
When did I pop my hamstring? That was like before Thanksgiving.
Right? Yeah, right?
I still feel it. I'm still afraid to go for a good run. I'm like, nope, I'm still on the shelf. 40 years.
That's exactly right. I know. I remember I had a shoulder pain. Like I couldn't lift my arm up in the air, and I got nervous because the last time that happened, I had a herniated disc. So I went to see the doctor. Doctor's like, nah, it's fine. He goes, you got inflammation. He goes, yeah, right. You're old. He goes, you're going to take this. You'll be fine in a couple weeks. Do this stretching exercise every day, which I hate, by the way, when they tell you, I don't want to stretch. I just want to get up and do anything. So they said, do this stretching exercise every day. You'll be fine. But the guy told me, he said, you can't play golf. You can't play golf for a while. And I was like, okay. So I did the stretching exercises. Like 3, 4, 5 weeks later, I'm like, this still hurts. Am I doing this right? And I'm like, oh, I'm just old. But that's what happens when you have an older quarterback, right? Breeze could suffer some sort of pain, right? And it takes a while to come back, and he's never quite the same. You never know. When you turn 40, everything is on the table. And so with the Rams, with Jared Goff and Sean McVay, the future's bright. With the Chiefs, the future's bright. The Patriots and the Saints are dealing with, let's win now, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring for our organization with our star quarterbacks. We don't know. You know, it could be a pain. So, nevertheless, 800-777-2907. It's Tony D and Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
On Twitter, if you think Patriot fans have it easy, well, the Patriots are in the Super Bowl again, playing in my backyard in Atlanta. But Saturday, I leave for Brazil for 2 weeks and will miss them. Can you believe that? Go figure. Oh, I feel bad, man. That's too bad. I'm sure you'll have a great time in Brazil. Brazil for 2 weeks sounds good. I don't know if you're going for business or pleasure, but I'm sure it's fun. But not, man. It can't be as fun as when your team is playing in your city for the Super Bowl. That's terrible. That's terrible.
But can I be honest with you? I think I didn't hear that you were reading a tweet that first part, and I thought you were talking. I'm like, wait, tell me you're going to Brazil.
No, I'm going to Atlanta.
Well, I know you're going to Atlanta.
I know.
I thought that's where you're going. I was like, yeah, they're playing in my backyard. Like, yeah, okay, I know you're going. Stop rubbing it in.
Oh, no. This is on Twitter. So, Patriot fans to leave for 2 weeks.
I was like, what?
Oh, it's too bad.
Luggage.
You can watch the game in Brazil, right?
Oh, of course,
would carry that on TV.
But you know what? To be a part of all the festivities, I'm wondering when.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
to be
down. Oh, exactly. Should we go down there?
Should we let him know? Hey, man, day one they start. I mean, they're probably going to start, celebrating Super Bowl in Atlanta today.
Yeah, exactly. Years ago, the city of Indianapolis held the Super Bowl. And the Giants were in it. My father's a big Giants fan. And I told him, you need to go. You don't need a ticket to the game. Just go see my brother and hang out with him and go to Indianapolis. Just be around it. Just be around it. It's cool. Like, when are you going to get to do that? Like, many of us don't live in cities that are going to ever host a Super Bowl. And it's kind of awesome. It's a big party and celebration. So, walk around, buy a shirt. I don't know. Just hang out with other Giant fans screaming on the streets for the whole week. Who cares? Just do that. You never know. It's like a bucket list kind of thing. I feel bad for you, man, if you got to go to Brazil. I mean, hey, Brazil for 2 weeks sounds awesome. But Super Bowl week when your Patriots are in your backyard in your city, that's a tough one. We'll tell you how awesome it was when you get back from Brazil. SB Nation Radio.